Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and about politics. For the Chicago Reader, he's here with me today on the sixth anniversary of our interviews.
Wow.
It's been 6 years.
You're lying.
Quickly go the days.
That was usually my line. It was a little girl I once knew.
And we have to thank
the great Kevin Lamb.
Who brought us together.
Yes, that's correct. A Packers fan who we love nonetheless.
And a public servant.
He is a public servant.
He's worked in city, county, and state.
State, and he currently works.
Currently laboring.
State, am I correct?
In the bowels of the state government.
Yes.
Somewhere in the Thompson Building.
Yes.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in The Reader on October 31st, 2013, Halloween. Titled, The Latest Reminder of How Mayor Daley Did Business. Today we're speaking about He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Mm-hmm.
And in this article, you write about the Park Grill, a restaurant concession that occupies the west side of Millennium Park, not the northeast corner, as it says in your article.
That is true. It would northeast corner of Michigan and Randolph.
But not of
Millennium Park.
Right,
right, right. For a second, you threw me. You're right. I sit corrected. That was not my mistake. Somebody changed it. I just made that up.
You're misquoting yourself.
I was misquoted in my own article.
And you write about how its owners got a sweetheart deal to run the concession under the Daley administration. And you write about current litigation in which the city has engaged to try to get a better concession deal for us, the taxpayers.
Yes.
I almost didn't want to talk about this story. My question is always, what can we learn about our government from this story?
Nothing ever changes. That's what we can learn. After last night's discussion, I'm going to be more positive.
Ben was berated for being hopeless.
Hopelessly cynical, which I'm not at all.
Just this story seemed to have more entertainment value than educational. We have concession partner getting a park district staffer pregnant. We have the amnesiac ex-mayor. And we have the prototypical sweetheart deal.
There's quite a few lessons embedded in this story. I actually believe, I'm going to have to disagree with you, David. I think this story is an example of how things work in Chicago, and it should be taught in the schools and civics classes and social studies. As a case study of how Chicago works. And it's ongoing, so that we have the carnival of Mayor Daley, his deposition, where he's under oath, swearing up and down that he cannot recall any detail of Millennium Park.
First, let's talk about what the Park Grill is. It's a restaurant on the east side of the skating rink, which a lot of people might know about, the skating rink at Millennium Park. In addition, the people who own the grill have a bakery and a retail store, and they have a concession to operate all food vendors, such as food carts, on the west side of Millennium Park. Park Grill is owned by a partnership called Millennium Park Joint Venture, MPJV, we'll refer to it as, whose partners and investors include relatives and allies of former Mayor Richard M. Daley. You write that since 2004, the restaurant has made $96 million, of which we taxpayers got about 3%.
Mm-hmm.
But the concession pays no bills for water, gas, electricity, or garbage collection. The city says it wants to renegotiate the concession fees to meet what it calls, quote, commercially reasonable standards, end quote. I couldn't find any indication of exactly what new terms the city would like for a Millennium Park restaurant concession. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I don't believe that's been publicized, actually, what the city's demands are for have. I haven't read it. I actually delved into this 10 years ago before we were doing the show. Spent a lot of time going through the lease agreement. So if people are interested, there's a link in this current column to the one I wrote 10 years ago where I delved into the particulars of the lease. Probably written three stories on this thing in the early '00s. My recollection is that there were disputes over how to reckon what the Park Grill would pay in terms of a rent, just a basic rent. And it was the agreement was a percentage of the net as opposed to a percentage of the gross. A gross is how much a company brings in before they pay their expenses. The net is what they bring in after they pay their expenses. So the Park Grill got a percentage of the net. So that meant that, of course, they were going to pay a percentage on a smaller share.
And they could make their expenses in terms of salaries as high as they want.
Very good. Like a Hollywood movie. As I recall, that was one of the great criticisms of the deal. So my guess is that the city would try to change that language so that they would get a greater share of whatever proceeds the restaurant's bringing in.
Then there's property taxes. In 2005, MPJV went to court to ensure that Cook County did not levy property taxes on the restaurant. MPJV claimed its concession agreement with the Park District was an untaxable license as opposed to a taxable lease.
Yes.
In 2010, the Illinois Supreme Court agreed that MPJV must pay no property taxes. This is the first I've heard of a business located on government land having to pay property taxes. Have you encountered that?
The way the law generally works is that while it's true that public property is tax exempt, a private business that operates on public property is not tax exempt and should pay property taxes. And the way the Park Grill is avoiding paying property taxes is by virtue of the agreement they signed with the Park District. And that agreement is a concession as opposed to a lease. And so they're treated as though they're a hot dog cart.
It's a pretty big cart.
Yeah, that's a that's a pretty big cart. So that's another, you know, how did the city, why would the city or the Park District or the negotiators agree to that? That's a huge concession, no pun intended. Immediately, that's what Mayor Daley went after when the embarrassing headlines hit the Sun-Times on this sweetheart deal. He had the Cook County Assessor, Jim Houlihan, sue to try to force the Park Grill to pay property taxes. You know, one thing I've never understood is the Park Grill. I mean, well, I guess I can understand it, but they're very stubborn. They got a sweetheart deal. Their lawyers have always argued that it's not a sweetheart deal. Michael Shackman, curiously enough, was one of their lawyers.
Yeah, that is curious.
Yes. So they denied that the sweetheart deal was a sweetheart deal, and they tried to make it seem as though they were taking a tremendous risk by putting their restaurant on this spot in the aftermath of 2001, the 9/11 attacks, which I think is one of the great exaggerations of all time, as though the city would remain depressed for years to come because of the terrorist attacks that didn't even take place in the city of Chicago. I feel as though they should have, as soon as those embarrassing headlines hit, renegotiated the deal. Obviously, clearly, they're beneficiaries of a sweetheart deal. They should have, all right, you caught us, let's renegotiate. But instead, they fought it all the way. They've spent a lot of money on attorney fees, you know, and they were victorious, yes, indeed, on this particular issue of the property tax. But I don't think it's a very classy move, let's put it that way.
No one's accused them of that.
Yes.
The phrase sweetheart deal appears in a lawsuit of which the city of Chicago is now a plaintiff, filed in county court. There are two defendants in the suit. First, MPJV. You know who the second defendant is?
I can't remember. Who is the second defendant?
The Chicago Park District.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... Oh, it's so, that's why I'm saying this should be taught in a civics class, how your city really works and how devious our city officials will be. Yes, the Park District has been treated as though it's a separate entity that is not under the control of the mayor, which, of course, is absurd. The board who runs the Park District are mayoral appointees. The executive director, whatever his title is, the superintendent, who's the salaried head of the Park District, is a mayoral appointee. They do what the mayor wants. They have, and they always will. So it's just absurd for the city to argue, as the city is arguing, that the Park District negotiated this lease on its own without oversight.
Why doesn't the mayor just call up Mike Kelly, the park's superintendent, whom he appointed, and say, shut him down?
You mean send in building inspectors and discovering,
yeah, you know, make
the old-fashioned way?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, well, you know, maybe they really don't want to shut him down that much. I don't know. You know, that's another interesting story. Who gets the building inspectors and who doesn't? This has been sort of a gentleman battle fought in court with lawyers, as opposed to the old-fashioned way of sending in the building inspectors. I guess when you have clout, like these people have clout, you get treated with a little more dignity.
Everybody's got to make some money on this one.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. The basis for the suit is that the city claims that half of the Park Grill concession area sits on city property, and the other half sits on Park District property. Now, you have a map here.
Yes.
That shows that there's a line that goes right essentially to the middle of the skating rink.
Yeah, that's the city land, or is that the park district?
City land is to the east.
Yes.
And so the Park District property is only this portion that's essentially the middle of the skating rink and west to Michigan Avenue.
I agree with the Park Grill on this point. I think it's an absurd contention for the city to make that somehow or other, because of this configuration on a property map, that this lease was not overseen by the mayor, and therefore the mayor is free to rip it up. I mean,
the contention by the city is that because most of this business is on city land as opposed to Park District, as a legal entity, the Park District had no legal basis to negotiate a contract.
Cities should not have signed the obligation of negotiating the lease with the Park District. That's the point. That's the point that the Park Grill makes, Shackman made. I agree with them that it's an absurd contention that the city is making. It's the legal equivalent of sending in the inspectors, where you're looking for any little trick you have to hold sway over somebody. In this case, the city of Chicago, the mayor of Chicago, essentially agreed to this lease. He had his employees negotiate the lease. He signed on to the lease. He used his authority to give them the liquor license they needed. He was there at the ribbon-cutting ceremony. So this is as much his project as it is anybody else's. And so then, after it's become an embarrassment, he then wants to divorce himself from it, and so he comes up with this legal gobbledygook. So I agree with the Park Grill that it is legal gobbledygook. But as I said before, they know they got a sweetheart deal and they should have renegotiated it, if for no other reason than to protect the mayor who gave them the sweetheart deal. That's why I'm saying this is such a, it's such a great glimpse into how Chicago operates on so many different levels, and how influence is used, and how there's really no accountability for the powerful, in this case the mayor, for what he does.
As evidenced by his deposition.
Which is a thing of beauty. Yes.
Listeners, run, don't walk, go read that deposition. What's interesting to me is it seems pretty clear, and you and others have pointed it out, I think, that the mayor's attorney was essentially feeding him the points at which he should say, I don't recall.
Yes.
So there are other people lined up to depose the mayor, particularly lawyers whose clients were in some way victims of former policeman John Burge and police torture scandals, for which Burge was later convicted for perjuring himself about that. So some folks want to hold Daley accountable because at that time he was Cook County State's attorney. And the buck sort of stopped there in terms of prosecuting Burge and others under his command. Do you think that what we saw in the transcript of that deposition is a model for depositions to follow?
Yes. In fact, it's funny, the other witnesses have a similar lack of memory when they're deposed. And I've talked to lawyers about this, and that's a typical strategy, because if you don't recall, you don't recall. And so that's all there is to it. Again, absurd is the only word for it, where in this particular deposition, when the lawyer asked Daley, was Millennium Park your idea? And Daley said, no, it's Daniel Burnham's idea, which is, it's quintessential Daley. He's being a wise ass, you know. And I suddenly saw him as a student in high school at De La Salle, you know, tormenting the priests, knowing full well that he'd get away with it because he was the son of the mayor.
His habits are hard to break.
Yeah, habits are hard to break. So, you know, he's being a wise guy. And again, he's just not accountable for anything. Obviously, Millennium Park is his baby. I mean, I didn't go on this because I had a limited amount of space, but another reason this story is so important is that Millennium Park was such a crucial factor in Daley's reelection in 2007, which is about the time we met. And I, if you can recall that era, that we were in the midst of so many different scandals.
Hired truck.
There was the vendor scandal. There's at least four or five of them. And the feds were literally knocking on the mayor's door. His chief of staff went to jail. Not his chief of staff, forget what the patronage.
Head of intergovernmental IGA.
Yes, exactly. But the general attitude of the public was, well, this great mayor gave us Millennium Park, and times are good, so, you know, well, we'll just look the other way, ha, ha, ha. Well, I mean, you know, it's, for him then, 7 years later, to save his hide, to say, I had nothing to do with Millennium Park, of course, is ultimately a joke on the citizens of Chicago. Usually the joke is on the citizens of Chicago.
We're not laughing.
Yeah, we're not laughing. We're just paying the bills.
That's all we've got time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, we welcome your suggestions about future interviews via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.